Ms. Calloway, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
This is an interview with Mrs. Sherry Cox Calloway for the Youngstown State University Project on the Black Student Experience. The interview is being conducted on using WebEx, and today's date is June 21st, 2023, and my name is Talicia Williams. Okay, Mrs. Calloway, I wanted to start off by asking you, where did you grow up? What was your childhood like?
Well, I grew up in north side of Youngstown. I graduated from V. Rand School, class of 72, and then I went on to Youngstown State University. My goal was to be a political science. I went to go to law school, but I was going for so long, and I took a lot of different subjects, and I ended up with combined social studies.
Are you a first generation college student within your family?
I have an older brother. He went to Bluffton College, and I have younger brothers. They went to Fisk University. So no, I'm not.
Well, why did you choose YSU? What drew you to YSU?
Well, I went to YSU because it was closer. It was a commuter college, and I just enjoyed being at home for a while. I did want to go to a WAVE for school, but the way things worked out, I was blessed to go on a full scholarship. Well, it wasn't a scholarship, it was a BVR, but I did go free, and I did get to work at Youngstown State University. So it worked out.
How did that come about, you getting your scholarship to YSU?
Well, we had a lot of role models. We had a lot of village people that worked with us, and a couple was Miss Romelia Carter and Mrs. Laura Lumpston, and they worked with us during while I was at V. Rand School, and they gave me the opportunity, and it was good. All I had to do was maintain the C average.
I heard that you mentioned two people who helped you while you were at Rand to help you get your scholarship here. When you came here, were there any faculty members that helped you while you were here that contributed to your education here?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Mr. Frost, he was the dean. Well, he was over. He was like the minority coordinator. Mr. Albright, Mr. Franklin. They're both deceased now. But there was a lot of them. My guidance counselors, yeah. It was a lot of people. It took a village, and plus those ladies, they worked with us while we were in college. So it wasn't like we were there by ourselves. So yeah.
Were there any particular events that you did at YSU? Like, what did a typical day look like for you as a YSU student?
Study, 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 work, work, work. So I give you believe that. No, you old college girl, you go to school. You work hard, you play hard, and I worked on campus the whole time, and I studied a lot. I went to the library a lot. I lived in the library. But then afterwards, you know, the social events, they had a lot of social events. Like, we started our own sorority, the IZs, Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, but we had to go up to Kent State to pledge because we didn't have that sorority on campus. And then they had like student, just any type of functions that they would offer, like government. I was in government, so I would want to go there. I went to the different, Black history programs. That was awesome. You know, we did that because that was new to me. So when I went up there, it was like, wow. So it was a good, good experience. So anything that they offered that I could go to, I took advantage of it.
What was that experience like for you being in a sorority? Were you one of the people who started the sorority?
Man, May 3rd, 1975. We had pledged back and forth. Remember, we're commuter and we were older. So we had to go back to Kent State. That's where they originated. So it was seven of us from Youngstown and six from Kent State University. So we had a big group because we had to travel like after work. So we had to go up there and we pledged, and because we were the mature young ladies, older pledging, and then they were younger, we had to go through a lot of sensitivity sessions to really work things out, but it worked out. It really worked out. And May 3rd, 1975, I think that was our 48th, you know, so we brought it back on campus to YSU. And it was a great experience. Mind you, most of my family was Deltas and AKAs. So, you know, they were very popular and still is, but now it's sisterhood. It's all about sisterhood.
Do you, besides the sorority, I heard that you mentioned that there were a lot of Black events for like the Black students that you attended. Were you like participating in those events and clubs as well as being in a sorority?
Yes, ma'am. It was another name for, I'm saying the Black Student Union. I think that's what it was. But yes, we were a part of that. And it was very wholesome because didn't know. You know, if you didn't learn it in high school and now you come to college, it's like a brand new experience. And I really treasure that because I learned a lot. And like this past weekend, we celebrated Juneteenth. So yes. Now that's all we do is Juneteenth, you know. But I'm glad, if you don't know, like 2 years later in Texas, we were free, but we didn't know we were free. And so now it's like, wow. But any time that I could join, any time, it was the Freedom Corporation. And we did, you know, we had a lot. I'm trying to, Daryl Tukufu, it was the boot dancers and the Harambe dancers. And so that was a lot of different things that we were learning. It was like new, but that was a new experience. And Mr. Albright, oh yeah. What's the other lady's name? She's the clerks of courts right now, Brown. She was part of that Black history experience. So yeah, it was a lot. And you learn what they say, when you know better, you do better.
Yes, ma'am.
So it was a great experience. But you know, when you are on a commuter college, we all pulled together because we all left and went home. And we attended the football events, the basketball, and we learned to meet different people from all over. So yeah, you just brought it back. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Girl, I almost forgot. Yeah. Yes.
It sounded like you had a lot of communities while you were in college. Where did the meetings for these communities and these groups happen? Like, where did you guys feel comfortable on campus?
Oh, we went to the Kilcolly Center. Mm-hmm. Because you had to sign up for the program. In fact, I worked at Kilcolly. So I worked in the, we went to the different, everything was basically on Kilcolly. Sometimes they were in the library. But I'm thinking, was that library that big? But it was, you know, it was, everything was on campus. Everything we did was right on campus.
Are you talking about this library, the Mogg Library?
The Mogg Library and the Black Studies program, they had programs sometimes in their, where they were located, but most of the times it was at Kilcolly Center, I'm thinking, and the Chestnut Room,
yes.
It's coming, girl. Oh, geez. In a minute. Oh, yeah, but it was fun. Yes.
Was your experience like working at Kilcolly?
Oh, my God. I worked in the printing department. I did all the printing. That's when we did everything manual. You know, we did that. I worked in the book room, I think. I think I worked in the library. I worked all over that place. Hirsch and, Katie, but we worked there. You know, we worked there. Then we were allowed to register early, you know. So it was good. I enjoyed that. Now, that way you can get your classes, because a lot of time the classes were closed. But because we worked on campus, we were privileged enough to, you know, take our classes earlier. So that was the advantage of there. And I loved it.
Being a part of like sororities and a part of groups like the BSU and the Freedom Corporation, did you feel like you were a part of a larger community, like outside of campus? Like, were there events that you guys participated that maybe weren't on campus that affected you?
Oh, yes, ma'am. Remember I stated to you that we went to Kent State?
Mm-hmm.
And Kent State, the bigger campus, to pledge there. But, you know, we took advantage of that. Akron University, I think we even went down to Columbus. Girl, we was all over the place. But what I'm saying, you know, it was a connection. And a lot was through, you know, the Black Studies program, the African Studies. Sarah Brown Clark, that's who was in charge of it back then. And Mr. L. Bright, he was at the Black Studies program. So it was a wealth of information. And, you know, like when you're hungry for something, it made you thirst for more. And then we talked a lot about things, you know. And that was in the early 70s. So it was a lot of demonstrations and stuff going on. And awareness. Awareness was so important. So, you know, when you connect the dots and everybody, you're communicating, it changed your whole idea on how different things were taken care of, you know, learning, the learning process.
What was your first day of classes like at YSU? Do you remember how you felt when you went to this
class? Yes, crazy. See, because, you know, when you graduate from high school mm-hmm. to college, you had to take all these the same thing that you almost had to take again. And to me, that was wasted time because mm-hmm. you really couldn't get into your major until you took these prerequisites for my issue. And I didn't understand why we had to take it again. You know, how much English and all that extra stuff that we had to take. And it just, to me, it's like, come on, let's just get to the meat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And that was a lot, but it was good. You know, you had to go along with the program and you had to maintain certain grades too. You know, so that was, you know, you learned that and found out we weren't as smart as we thought we were when in high school. You know, you could be a 4 point in high school and then you come to college and you feel like you dumb, the dumb, dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know, so it was a big experience, even though it was a community college, it was a lot, you know, and remember, we couldn't work until like our sophomore year. So we was finding our way around campus and learning the different professors. So that was a big, big, big experience to me.
You said you guys weren't allowed to work until your sophomore years, but the only job that you ever had was like on campus. So before working on campus, like how did you make a living? Like what kind of things did you do on campus before you were able to work?
Girl, I worked at the BP gas station. Girl, I worked so much. I started at 14 years of age, and it was with the CETA program. And that was a phone call. And I learned a lot, you know, because working skills was always in our family life. And I came from a family of five children and two parents. And even though my father worked, I contributed back to the family. It wasn't like this was my money and I could spend it. I did use most of it. I bought my own school clothes and stuff. But most of it was contribute back to our family. But I worked, I worked a lot. I worked at the law department down at Youngstown City Hall. Law department. It was a lot. I worked at the Gilead House. Summer programs, working with the youth. Whatever it was needed. Oh, I worked downtown for the summer program with the Job and Family Services. It wasn't that, but that was it. You know, that's where we worked as, you know, working for the summer. So we worked, we had to work. And I would really, really improvise that for the young people now. I think the young people could work and have life skills. I think that would change the whole dynamics of appreciation of working.
Yes. And I'm sorry, I almost cut you off earlier, but heard that you mentioned that you worked at the law department downtown. What was that experience like for you?
I loved it. They worked me to death. You know, when you You know, they worked us. It was a good experience because I learned the whole gamut of the downtown Youngstown. But I worked with attorney William Higgins. He was the, I think he was the law director or assistant law director. So I had to go read files, you know, do files, check up, you know, do researching for them, you know, to go for whatever they wanted us to do. But I working in the law department was a great experience because you learn the filing system, you learning the law, the cases. And so you just, it was took me to another level, but I enjoyed that to the utmost.
You said that you majored in social sciences.
I went for political science, but because I took so many subjects and it was taking me so long to get my degree, I just combined them all. And I went for all the social studies because I had criminal justice, political science, social studies, history, you know, so it was all combined. And now I find out 100 years later, all I had to do was go get me an English, you know, go to school for English, and I could have still got a law degree. But, you know, hindsight, if you knew better, you knew better, right?
Mm-hmm.
I could have had three PhDs.
Oh.
No, I'm just joking. That's that's how I felt, though, at the time. It was a lot of work. You know, and again, working with your different counselors, and sometimes, I don't know about you, but like when you go for a class and it's closed and you got to wait the whole year, you go to summer. And mm-hmm. I'm not a summer person. You know, I went, but I ended up dropping it. It's just too much, mm-hmm. you know.
So having those multiple majors, like you said, you combined all the criminal justice and the history. How did you balance that out with your regular college life with being a part of so many groups and community activities?
Well, my first priority was going to school. And then, like I said, you work hard, you play hard, you work. But then we had to party. We had to have some relaxation. And now, remember now, we're 18, 19, 20, so we're not no young children. We're adults, young adults. So you learn balance. You learn you can't go partying all night and then get them to go to work. Can't do that. You got to learn to sacrifice. And remember, we're still at home, so we still had to respect the home life. Some people lived in apartments, but I still maintained at home the whole time. So that was good. And you still got to follow rules. You still got to follow your parents' rules, mm-hmm. you know. But it was good. It was good because you're hungry for knowledge. You have to work because you got to eat. But then you want to have a social life. And the social life was just enjoying other young people and seeing where they're at. And there were some younger. And there was some, you know, older, you know, went to school, the non-traditional students too.
Why didn't you attend law school? What stopped you from going to law school?
I wanted to go to Austin, Texas, and just preparing yourself, you know, you know how you want to do something, and I did, and I could even went to Akron now, hindsight, and it's never too late. It's never too late because I worked for Trumbull County Family Court as a probation officer. So I was still doing the law. I was working attorneys, but I just didn't. You know, after so while, you just get discouraged, but there's no excuses, make adjustments. So it's never too late to go back.
Do you feel like you were provided the correct tools at YSU to be successful?
Yes and no. Yeah. And a discipline, you know, if I didn't have to work and if I went straight study, probably would have been different. But I have no regrets. I'm glad I went. I'm glad I had the experience. And like I said, I could have minored, you know, I could, like I said, your major, I could have had a couple majors, couple minors, and still pursue what I wanted. But it was choices. And if I would come back and be a guidance counselor to the young people, I'd tell them to stack. You know, go after your passion first and then stack all the rest of them.
You went to school in like the late 70s, am I correct?
Class 1972, 73.
Okay. Were there any local or national events at that time that affected your education or affected you as a person in general?
Give me say it a little bit further, that a little bit more. I think I know what you're saying, but go ahead and expound that a little bit more.
Like here in Youngstown in 77, I believe, a year before you graduated, there was the Black Monday crisis where like the mills shut down, and that affected the entire history of Youngstown.
Yes.
Were there like any events, or even if you wanted to talk about that, that affected, do you feel like those events affected like how you performed in school? Did it affect you as a person?
Oh yeah, because my dad worked for Republic Steel. You know, we're from Republic Steel. My grandfather worked at the one in Camel Works, I think. So, and my brothers worked there. So yeah, any type of crisis like that will always affect you, because that's your means of your source of food, you know, and it does, it did. And, you know, now, if you look at now, a lot of people got black lung, you know, had all that lung stuff from the steel mills, but it was good. It was hard work. But it you know, it, and any type of crisis, you're right. I'm glad you said that. Yes, ma'am. Yes. And that has a lot to do with it. And then, you know, when jobs are good, they're good. And when you lose jobs, you know, back then you can work and have a decent living. But a lot of people chose to leave, you know, because for whatever reason, they just want to see that there's a big world out there. But yeah, I mean, you're right. That I'm glad you brought that up. I never thought of it like that. Yeah, it was a big, big national. Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Talicia. Two hands for everyone.
Like upon you graduating, like that happened in 77, and then you graduated almost a year later. Was there like any trouble for you finding any jobs, finding a career?
Yes, ma'am. Remember I told you when I graduated, your guidance counselors, they were supposed to direct you into the field that you went to school for. And they were giving me management training. In fact, I worked for a management trainee at JCPenney's. That didn't have nothing to do with my social studies. And again, now you said that part, and now that I'm thinking about it, yeah, I think that could have a lot to do with it. But then sometimes, you know, you have to, you know, take what they give you or go after it yourself. Get a group of people, and then you have to go after the different, you know, like if you're in social studies, political science, you have to sort of redirect yourself and go where you really, remember I said stack your passions, go with your passions first, and then, you know, do the management trainee. Because like I said, management trainee don't have anything to do with social work, right? Or political science. So you live and learn. But I again, like I said, if I could talk to these high school children now before they go to college, figure it out what you really want to do, and basically get you a village around you and work with them, you know, work with other people. Don't always depend on people to guide you the right way, because a lot of times they don't. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am. Going back to your involvement with the sorority, why did you feel like you had to start a new sorority here at YSU?
Well, I didn't have to. It's just that the climate, you know, when you go to school with different people and you like to be, because it doesn't really matter. I could get along with anybody. But I think something new is good, and, you know, it's good to challenge yourself. It's good to be around young women who have the same ideas and things that you like to do. And remember, at the end of the day, we're all sisters. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite sure the Deltas, you know, when they came, they some of them started theirs, and then the next group, AKAs, and then the Sigma Gamma Rose. Variety is good.
So there were already a lot of Black sororities when you came to YSU?
A couple. I think it was not Sigma Gamma. I think it was AKAs and Deltas. And then, I think change is good. It's good to dare to be different, because you're working the same philosophy, but doesn't mean you all have to, you know, do this. You know, I think different, change is good. Competition's good.
What is the story behind that? How did you start the sorority?
Well, they had this interest group called the IZs. And one of my sorority sister, my Sands, had brought to, you know, we hang out with each other. And they said, hey, let's check out this new, you know, we went to a event where they showed you what IZs were about, the interested in Zeta. And so we all said, hey, let's go, just go. You know, we commuter and we checked it out. And we checked out everybody else too. But it was, I guess maybe sometimes it's just new. You know, when you have something new on campus, you say, let's check them out. And we did, and they sounded good. But we didn't know we had to go to Kent to pledge. But it was good. The challenge was good.
Was your sorority a big part of your life at that time?
Yes and no. Yeah. I mean, because when we were pledging, you know, when you pledge and you're interested in things, remember, we're talking about different women with different careers and different lifestyle. Then you got to put aside all your differences and then come together and learn each other. So it was a challenge, you know, learning personalities, you know, it changes things, you know. And then you got to go to a new campus where you have to learn a whole new group of people. So it's change is good, but you have to work through it. You have to work through it in order to get, you know, to reach the goal, to keep your eyes on the prize. So it was a challenge. It was interesting, but we made it through.
You sound like you had an overall good college experience. With it being the 70s at that time, were there any negative experiences like discrimination that you may have faced at that time?
Yes. Anywhere you go, you're going to have it. But when you go to college, you know, it's more blatant. You can see things a little bit differently. You know, high school, maybe you're a little bit sheltered, but in college it's wide open because you got all kind of people from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And some people hide it. Let's use the South versus the North. This is up North. Mm-hmm. So you could be racist and you really wouldn't know unless you could see an opportunity come up for a part or a job. And you may be more than qualified, but you don't get it. Mm-hmm. You understand? But down South, they outrightly, like what we're going through now with the voting, you know, it's very bad, but you know, you learn, you live and learn, but you learn that it's real. It will never go away. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. It's a disease. Racism is a disease. And the people that have this disease have to realize that they are sick. You mm-hmm. understand? And if it doesn't, if we don't talk about it, people will still think like, oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay. And it's not about, you know, like you go to your class and you see certain kids get better treatment than other kids. And it's like, well, I thought we're in the same classroom, but it doesn't work like that. Same like a job. Mm-hmm. You go to a job and it's time for a promotion and then they change the game. They change the rules. No. Mm-hmm. Or you're overqualified. How are you overqualified and you got a PhD? Mm-hmm. You know, you work hard because nothing come easy. It doesn't come easy. But, you know, people, again, think they're changing the game, but they're not. And that's why, unless you's writing like August 8th, we're voting no on that issue because they're trying to rechange everything we work for. You know, things that Martin Luther King and everybody else worked for, they're trying to reverse everything back. And it's like, are you serious? So as long as we are minority, we're going to have to fight every day. And we're not only fighting for ourselves, but for our future, because our ancestors did. Our ancestors are still fighting. I bet you they're in their grave turning. They probably mm-hmm. couldn't even rest. But it's real. You know, a lot of people that want to play the game and say that it's okay, it's not. Or if they say they got a couple Black friends, that's not right. You know, it's not. And we have to, sometimes you have to call them on the carpet too. You got to let them know it's not okay. And if it's okay, then why are they fighting so hard for us not to vote or fighting for rights, our rights to your body as a woman? You understand what I'm saying? And Why are they changing the vote in August when they know people are on vacation? So everybody's not going to vote unless they go and vote early. Does that make sense? People have to understand the game, recognize game, and it's going to be here. It's, you know, the people you work with, sometimes it's your supervisors and stuff. Oh, it's okay. No, you talk to me like I'm a woman, like you're a woman, or, you know, I'm a person. I'm not an animal. So don't treat me no other way. And and just because, see, the difference a lot of people don't understand, we were forced to come here. We did not come here willfully. We were forced. That's the difference. And then you got people that came here, but they're more immigrants than the immigrants. How about that? Think about that. Real? Is that real or not? And that's real. And we have to address that. And people need to, you know, they want to tell you, get over it. No, you can't get over it. Never. I still want my reparations with interest. With interest. Look, 40 acres and a mule. No, with interest. And that's real. And people act like it's okay. No, you know, this new thing with, well, anyway, I'm sorry, I'm on the rant, but that's a big thing, and it's not going away. And you got to fight for everything. You have to. But there's ways to do things differently. The Black Lives Matter. Yes, Black Lives Matter. They will always matter. That's real. And people can't just, you know, push it aside like it's okay. No, if this is not like, let's do a paper and it's okay. It's got to be more. And the people that's doing it need to relook their life. And unless they ever been Black, they don't understand what we're going through. They will never, ever understand what our ancestors had to go through back in the cotton field. And then what's so sad, right now in 2023, June 20th, it's alive. It's not going anywhere. And if we don't educate our people, if people don't be sensitive to the needs, we don't want handouts. We want our full, I want my full paycheck. I don't want a partial paycheck and you act like you're doing me different. You know, like if you're working somewhere and somebody's getting their money is twice as much as you, but you're doing the same work. No, that's not right. It will never be right. Never. Never. And then, like I said, we need to talk about it 24/7, every day, every day. It doesn't go away. Like Juneteenth. Don't celebrate July 14th because we weren't independent then. Juneteenth is our celebration, and that's real. Do you understand? We have to celebrate our freedom and understand where we're coming from. Okay. I could go on, but I don't want, you know, that's another subject, Day. Did I answer your question? I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, it's good. Knowledge is good, like you said. Did your experience on campus influence your involvement within the community after you graduated?
Oh, yes. I didn't know a lot. I didn't know. We didn't know. We didn't read all this in high school. You know, they talked about a certain group. And now if you look around now, different states are trying to ban Black history and knowledge of yourself. So it did. I went to a march, the Million Women March. But I think that was afterwards. I had my children then. But you have to, yes, anything that's not right is not right. Injustice anywhere is not right. And so, yes, I believe that everybody, history is history. And if we had to learn everybody's history, then they need to learn ours. And that's why we have to push it. And regardless if it's at Youngstown State University or Texas or Arizona or South Carolina, where they're doing this crazy, New York, we need to fight. And we used to do marches. I don't know why we're not marching. We can never get, you know, there's a way you do marches and do it right. And let's go back to January 6th when they did that insurrection. And people act like it was okay. That was not okay, period. If I would have did it, I would be underneath the jail. And I don't think the punishment, the people that get like a slap on the hand, that's not punishment. You know, we have young men in prison right now for weed, but they have it where it's legal. So I'm missing why they're still in jail, in prison. You understand? So it's unbalanced. It's not right. It's blind. We're blind. You know, did that make sense? So we have to continue to fight. And if people is just going along to get along, then they need to stop. And they got to look the man in the mirror. And if they don't really understand, they need to ask somebody that been through it. When you got your grandmothers and great grandmothers that went and marched for voting rights and then went to the poll and then they were turned around because they didn't have the documentation. That's crazy. That is about as crazy can be. And they walk. Remember, they walk to the poll. So that's why it's important to be a part of everything that's going on. If you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. And that's real.
What was your experience like doing the Million Women March? What was that event?
Sisterhood, girl. Sisterhood. It was in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. We drove down there. We drove. And then, you know, like when you go to the different, you know, to turn over the rest, there were so many sisters in their attire, you know, and just bracing. We embracing each other because it's real. You know, woman has power. We ran this place for a long time. We're still running it. And to embrace all those women, we went there, the different speakers, and just talking about what we go through with somebody that looked like you. That was a beautiful experience. And we did it for a long time, and then it stopped, but we need to bring it back. The Million Man March, bring it back. You know, local ones, Black Lives Matter, it should be done weekly, monthly, until they stop shooting, just shooting innocent people. Because they Black, who does that? Like, you know, they have they have those stun guns. You can shoot, they think more of an animal than they do of us. And that doesn't make sense to me. And you can't tell me with all that training, you are intimidated because I'm a Black man or a Black woman with my hands up. And you, what's the threat? I'm missing that. What's the threat? I don't get it. But yeah, I think experience on college, just life experience, you know, you see it every day. The day they got technology, you know, the social media, it's just boom, 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 is right there in your face. Mm-hmm. And it's not new. This is not new. But we still talking about the color of a person's skin in 2023, something is serious, Lauren. They need to stop talking about the color of our skin and give us our reparations. That's what I want. My 40 acres and a mule plus interest. You know, they talk about mental health. They talk about all this other stuff. Where's our money? Right? I mean, real. And I know you probably did your research, but it's real. Our grandmothers went through hell and back. If you look at Oklahoma, the Black Wall Street, they came in and stole everything and burnt it down. Who does that? That's nothing but pure jealousy. And then when you have to go buy a house, you pay three or four times as much. No, that's not right. And until we get it together, it's going to always be uprising. It will always be. And I think the young people have a right. They need to protest all the time. You know, they got all these rights. They had the pride downtown. They got all this. But nobody's talking about, like, we don't matter. And we do matter. Black lives matter. Period.
Do you think that the workforce is different now? Like, what do you do right now as a career?
Right now, I'm sitting at home, running away from work. I retired, but you never stop. I believe in the police. I believe in them because you do call them. Mm-hmm. But I believe they need to start walking the beat, you know, walking and see the environment, you know, walk the neighborhoods. Get to know the people, you know what I'm saying? And then graduate up, not just give them a car with these weapons and then say, you know, no, because there are bad people. There's a lot more good people. And I don't believe that the training, if I could get out there and help them, I think I would show them that no, walk the beat. When we were growing up, we knew the policemen. They knew everybody in the neighborhood. And I think the biggest problem is these people that come in and patrol your area, they don't live here. So of course they won't have an investment. The people that we knew live with us, work with us, the children went to school with us. And so that changes the whole game. But if you come in, if I live in Poland, or if I live in Boardman, but I come to work to Youngstown because the pay is better, but I take my money and back out there, you're not going to feel the same. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think that needs to, in fact, I'm going to call them and talk to them about that. But see, a lot of them was grandfathered out, so they don't have to do that no more. No, if you starting off and you want to work here, you got to live here. You got to invest in where you live at. And I think that would change the whole mentality. You see, but if you don't live here and you live out in Canfield or wherever, that doesn't make sense. That don't even sound like an investment, do it? No, it isn't.
How have you seen the communities change, like from the 70s when you went to school and when you graduated? Like how are things different now for you?
Neighborhoods, you know, we had real neighborhoods. You know, you go down the street, we didn't have all these empty lots, you know, tearing down the neighborhood. That was your community. You know, you had neighbors, you know, you had the fruit trees. We didn't run to the grocery store every other day. You know, we had gardens. I'm getting ready to plant a garden. You know, so it was, and everybody knew everybody. We had curfews. You know, we had, you know, we talked to each other. We didn't have social media and we didn't have all these phones. We girl, we couldn't afford these phones. I mean, you got to go with the time, but it's just, sometimes you need to get back to the basics, the old neighborhoods, you know, the old where kids, you could tell, talk to young people and say, you ain't doing that. And why you live on this street, but you five blocks away. You're supposed to live in your neighborhood. You follow what I'm saying? And people talk to these children. You know, a lot more homeowners, mothers were at home, you know, but they took care of their families. And it was a rich, you know, you thought you were rich. You know, you lived there, you worked there, you had a garden, you ate. Now, but if we need to get it back. You know, we got to step up to the future by going back to the basics. It's okay. It's okay. Because we talked to each other. You know, we weren't afraid. You know, we had a community. A community was a community, and we need to get that back.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add? Anything that maybe you didn't get a chance to say that you would like to?
Did you get your profession? I know you said you liked that. What changed? What made you want to go into that? Tell me a little bit about you, if you don't mind.
I'm about myself.
I'm saying we're doing the interview because you're learning about the Black experience. What piqued your interest to want to learn more about that? Because I got 1,000 more people I could give you their names and stuff. You know, they graduated, but I just got to make contact with them because we had a nice connection back then.
Yeah. Well, what kind of made us want to do this is that connection is sort of gone. Like someone like for me, being a Black student here at YSU, their like population and how much it used to be integrated is not the same anymore. And what made me want to do a project like this is so that like I could read histories like yours and Black students who came before me who are not here anymore, because like there isn't any. What made me want to do this and participate is that if I wanted to look up the Black history at the school I go to, I wouldn't be able to find any. So I really do appreciate people like you who want to do these interviews and who want to like put their stories out there for students like me who need to know it because there isn't any. And so I really do appreciate you for this. And I really would appreciate if you would give more names for people to talk to so that we can expand it, because there isn't much. There isn't anything at all about the history of Black students who went here. And that's a shame. I feel like there should be, because more people need to hear stories like yours.
Oh, girl, I can write you a book. In fact, I am going to write a book. But you know what? I came from a lifeline of you have to reach back and give back. You can't, because people helped me along the way. So it's not like you shouldn't be there. I mean, I'm glad you're doing this, but that was a reminder to me that we need to come down to the campus. We need to, you know, come and talk to the young people, be your mentors, you know, invite you to our homes for dinner. You know, that's what we used to do. I told you I had two daughters, right? My one daughter went to Alabama A&M in Azada, and she thought she went further away, right, to go to school. But they believe what I'm saying, the South truly believe in coming on the campus, talking to you, embracing you, making sure you go to church, make sure that you're being fed and being treated right. So I thank you for reminding us, because sometimes we get so busy. We ain't that busy. You know, we ain't that busy that we can't make you some collard greens and cornbread and invite you into our world. You know what I mean? It ain't nothing new, because like I said, those two women that helped me get a scholarship, I thank them from the bottom of my heart. So you just reminded me to don't, and I didn't forget. It just brought me to my attention that we got to do better. And we got to pay it forward. But they say each one teach one. Yes, it does take a village to raise a child. And if you don't mind, I would be honored to work with you, help you. You can call me anytime. I'm in Warren, but I'm in Youngstown, so I'm working on some property, you know, to help build that up. Father's home is an older home, you know, but it still was home. That's all we knew. You understand what I'm saying? So I don't want nobody to come in and tear down something that my father had to work three times as hard for. No, it's not new, not, you know, but it's ours. And if we don't keep the tradition going, how can we tell the next generation, oh yeah, we used to live here. Well, this empty space is not going to represent where we used to live. Was it a perfect? No, it wasn't perfect, but it was ours. And we had to work hard for it. So whatever I can do, and I can get some more people. I can only speak for me, because I hate to volunteer for somebody else. And they say, I didn't ask you to do all that. But I think that the people, there's a lot of still good people left that would like to make a contribution to help the other next generation. And if whatever we could do, just call me and give me about 2 hours and then we could work on it. Okay. And, you know, get my mind straight again. You know, I'm doing self-care now. You know, the eyes, you know, cataracts, as we get older, we need help. We need help too, but we can help each other. And that's no problem. You know what I'm saying? So I really thank you. I thank Miss Cassie and her team, your whole team, whatever you need. If we can do it, it's going to take a little longer. You know, we're not as suave as we used to be. That's been a couple years, a couple minutes ago, but we're back. We're here. And as long as we have breath in our body, we have to reach out. We have to give back to our community. It does, you know, we have to, because we know what our ancestors would not be pleased if we didn't help each other. And that's real talk.
Well, thank you so much. And I will remember to keep you in mind. Thank you so much for this. I really do appreciate it.
Oh, you're more than welcome.
Okay.